financial literacy, and the human condition. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Frances Raham.
Hi, it's Frances. I just wanted to take a minute to thank you for watching this video. If you're catching us on YouTube, please help us help others by clicking like, subscribe, and all notifications so you don't miss any videos. And check back for the next video. I think you're going to love it. Thanks again. For more information, you can visit us at hugyourmoney.com.
Welcome to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Frances Raham. Good morning.
Oh, my goodness. You're Hi. Not feeling well. Hi.
It's the pleasure of having kids. You get whatever they get, you know?
Oh, you know, I don't mean to make fun of this because it's terrible that you're not feeling well, but it's interesting that at least on my side, your image blurs from time to time, which is probably a little bit like how you're feeling.
Yeah, probably. I'm fading in and out, fading in and out.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, thank you for doing the show, even though you're a little under the weather. But
oh, no problem.
It's an important topic, and we appreciate that. And you know, I don't want to get any gender fights started here, but you know what? Welcome to the world of women. You
okay.
are a single mom. You have kids, right?
Yeah.
You get whatever they get.
Mm-hmm.
And here you are working.
Yeah,
right?
You kind of have to, you know. I think most people just power through, especially moms.
Yeah, and it's true of single dads, too. They have the same issue, right? If you only have one person in the household who can manage the kids, you're going to be working through your sicknesses. But, you know, it really isn't always possible. And I want to talk to women today and the men who care about the women today. And just so that I don't alienate anybody, let me just tell you that I think of this not so much in terms of men and women. And a good analogy would be that, you know, I'm a ballroom dancer. And when we instruct, the old world was, you said, women on one side, men on the other. Now they say leaders on one side, followers on the other. I don't care how we label it. I'm going to call this the X chromosome of money. Okay.
Okay.
I don't care what gender you are, but if you think like the things I'm going to talk about, which is basically how most women think, then you might be falling behind in your retirement plan. You're probably starting on what we say the back foot, right?
Okay.
There are reasons for it, and it isn't about the way you think. It's about the way society has prepared us for this and the fact that we are still behind the eight ball when it comes to earning.
Is this a specific generation you're talking about or any generation?
It's everybody still.
Okay.
It's worse for older women. Older women are twice as likely to report that they are very unprepared for retirement than men are. Twice as likely. Okay. So we'll go into a little bit of history of it, but let me just first say that we cannot have this discussion without, and believe me, I'm not trying to alienate men here. You know, we work with men all day, every day too. But I think somebody has to hold up the mirror here and say, okay, you know, we still are dealing with this problem. And I'm not making that up. The statistics support it. For instance, women make 84 cents on the dollar compared to men for the same work.
Yeah.
In 2024.
I totally believe that. I believe it's happened to me like every single place I've worked.
And we're now in 2025.
Yes. Yeah.
That gender wage gap broadens when we talk about people of color. Latina, 52 cents on the dollar if you're a woman versus a man. 52 cents.
That's crazy. Yeah.
And for Black women, they are earning 66 cents on a dollar. So you know what, ladies? We got to fix this, okay? This cannot continue to happen, and it can't continue to happen because it affects your retirement. And that's why I was saying, you know, older women are twice as likely to say they're very unprepared for retirement compared to men. Now, let's look at why this happens a little bit, because I'm certainly not blaming anybody specifically. I'm not, you know, if you're in a relationship, don't go to your partner and say, hey, honey, I'm tired of you out earning me.
I mean, I've got a whole list of people I want to blame, but I'm going to let you go.
Yeah. No, so we have to look at the sociology and the societal aspects of this. Women in general, not all women, of course, but women, that's my last disclaimer, okay? I'm tired of apologizing for, I'm not bashing on men. Please understand, this show is about what is happening to women when it comes to managing money and their retirement in the future. So, or people who are X chromosome minded, okay? If you are X chromosome minded, you are more likely to disproportionately bear the burden or the responsibility, let's call it, of raising children and caring for elderly parents. That brackets you on both ends of the spectrum in ways that decrease your income.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in such broad ways that most people don't think about, let's take the childbearing for a minute. Okay, so you're not only bearing the children, but you're rearing the children for the first several years at least, probably,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And so that reduces your overall income, not your household income, maybe. Maybe the other person makes up for the difference, but it reduces what you have reported to the government for income,
mm-hmm.
which in return reduces your Social Security check when you retire. Yet, I don't see many people talking about that. I mean, do you? Do you read articles about that?
No, and I also do think that you can go into it thinking you're going to be all set because you're married and you've got your husband's income, but what happens if something terrible happens? If you go through a divorce, someone dies, it's a whole new thing.
Yeah, it is. And that's another point here. The way people used to look at this was, well, let's back up far beyond, your and my generation, but where people worked, one of the people worked in the marriage and the other person didn't work outside of the home. They stayed home.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
everything was designed to be purchased on one person's income.
And you could do it then.
And it was, that's
yeah.
right. And it was. And then, let's say World War II. Let's blame World War II for this, okay? Women took the jobs that men had to take previously because the war was on. And when the men came home, a lot of people said, I'm going to keep working. I like
mm-hmm.
this. I'm going to keep doing it. That brought two incomes. I'm really oversimplifying history here, but that brought two incomes into the household.
Mm-hmm.
That meant that people who were giving you loans for things like mortgages and cars and other things, that the expenses could go up because a household income could support it,
mm-hmm.
right? So now we're trapped. Now we have two income households, and now we need both incomes to make ends meet.
Right.
Enter children into the picture. Now what's going to happen? You can't just have kids and just leave them home alone. They're 6 weeks old, but they'll be fine. I'm going to work, right?
Yeah, there's laws against that.
Yes, thankfully, somebody has to take care of them. And if you're going to hire daycare, we all know that's a
so
fortune.
Expensive. Yeah.
Why? Because those people providing daycare have to make a living too, and
mm-hmm.
they have the same kinds of expenses that we have. So it has gotten to be a very expensive, very difficult world to live in financially. You might be thinking, hey, I'm in this great relationship, this great marriage, and we're funneling all this money into my husband's 401k, which is the point
mm-hmm.
you just brought up.
Yeah.
We're funneling this money into his 401k so that when we retire, this money will be there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, men and women typically think about their money a little differently. And one of the things that is kind of great about the way men think about it, but which is not always tolerable for women, is that they are bigger risk takers. And so they actually enjoy the process of watching the market, taking some risk, seeing the gains. They don't love the losses, but they usually just don't open the envelope. Market's been terrible. I don't want to see my 401k, okay? Whereas women tend to think more about security, more about being conservative about the dollars. So when you're operating as a couple, as you're operating as a pair, and you're both talking about the money, this can serve you well, right?
Okay.
It can be a little balance between the two of you. First thing we say, we want you both in the meeting. I want to gauge, how are people thinking? Can I bring them to a middle place that serves them both so that they can get to their goal together and happily, right? And complement one another.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know whether that's a factor of me being a woman advisor or not. There's no scientific way for me to tell in my cross section here. But I will say that statistically, women fire their male advisors within 1 to 2 years of the death of their spouse. Yet.
Because?
Yet, most male advisors, 70% of the male advisors will tell you, although they get fired, they will tell you, I have a great relationship with my women people in my couple.
Hmm.
Now, what's going on there, right?
Yeah.
So why So here's one of the things that happens. Because men think differently about finance than women, and the men actually in general like to pore over the charts, talk about the stock market, meet with the financial advisor, right? Rub elbows to elbows with them. And it's usually a male financial advisor, not always, obviously, case in point, right? Because of that, oftentimes the women who are busy doing things like managing the household finances, you know, going to work, trying to juggle the kids, the dinners, the sports, all the things that do sort of disproportionately fall in many relationships on the woman. They feel like, okay, honey, you got that part. I've got this part. And so they nod politely and they ask a question every now and then. And they say things to their husband quietly, like, I don't know about this guy, or, you know, I hope he's doing really well for you. That's great, honey. But they don't really have that same relationship with the advisor that the male has, right? So it's statistically true that women outlive men. Obviously not in every case, right? But women outlive men. And so what happens is the women are largely the ones who will bear the responsibility, and I say that in a nice way, of managing this money in the future. Think about that for a second. We are busy turning that over to our counterparts, saying, you guys do it. That's great. I love that you're taking risk. That's outside of my tolerance. So you do it. And I'll deal with whatever's left to me should you predecease me.
That doesn't seem smart.
It doesn't seem equitable, right? And it could be reversed. It could be that the woman predeceases the man and the woman has been managing all the finances and the man has no idea what's going on. And believe me, I see this a lot.
I'm just curious, in your experience, like when you're counseling people, do you find more men are in control, or is it 50-50? Not in control, but have taken the lead in their relationship, or do you find it's equal?
That's a very interesting question, because what I find, it's, you know, thousands of clients, is that the division is almost predictable. The division within a heterosexual couple or even a gay couple, right, is that people will divide that line down the middle without ever talking about it, Jess. They don't discuss it. It's like rote routine. And because everything takes so much effort today and both people are working, that division of labor happens. And what happens, in my experience, is that the women typically are the ones to handle the minutiae, which is part of the most important part, right? But we call it minutiae. You pay the bills. You make sure we have enough money for summer camp. You make sure that I have enough money to get my lunch at work.
You're taking care of the groceries and the appointments and the extra.
So you become what I call the steward of household finances. And the husband or the other partner often becomes the person who says, I'll handle the investments. I'll work. We'll funnel all the money into my 401k, 457, you know, thrift savings plan, whatever it is. And every now and then we'll look at it together and we'll see, you know, when the quarterly statements come in, how much money we have. However, it is the men largely who make the decisions about three things. How much to save, right? How the money gets invested, and how much money will they need during retirement?
Oh, that's interesting.
It was a great question, really, because it is almost always when I start asking those questions, it's so clear to me. The man will look at the woman when I say, so how much do you spend in, I don't know, car insurance every year? He'll look at her. You know, I don't know. She's got the numbers. Then I say, how much is in your retirement account? If she says anything first, it's usually, I don't have very much, or I need to talk to you about that. I'm not saving much.
Okay, much more coming up in part two of Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Frances Ram. But of course, I want your phone number.
Thank you. It's 413-773-3333.
And you can go to hugyourmoney.com. We'll be right back with part two of Financial Fitness on WHMP.
Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor is underwritten by Franklin County Technical School. We build futures. Visit fcts.us or call 413-863-9561.
Welcome back to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Frances Ram, and we're talking women today.
We are. You know, lucky for us, we are two of them. And so when we talk about women, we know we have a different perspective than men talking about women. And I have to say, I have seen some financial advisors lately who are starting to get this, or some of them have really gotten it, right? There's one gentleman, I won't mention his name, but I'd like to have him on as a guest, and his niche is talking to women about how to prepare for this, and he comes across as very genuine because he is. He has strong women in his life. His wife is a professional. His mother is a professional. He understands the challenges that they bump up against financially, and he's just found a little niche right there, or a niche, depending on your pronunciation of it, where he talks to women about just these kinds of things, like, you know, if you don't do something about this, you're going to not be able to retire well.
Do you think that
So,
there's a hesitancy with women because it just is like doom and gloom, almost like a prenup where you're like, oh, well, that means I'm going to get divorced? Like, if they feel like if they talk about retirement and don't leave it to the husband, you're predicting they're going to die or you're going to get divorced?
I'm sure there is some of that. I mean, that's the resistance to people buying life insurance, that we don't want to face our own mortality. Long-term care is even more difficult because nobody wants to perceive themselves in that situation. And so, yeah, subconsciously, I'm sure, you know, you don't want to do that. And of course, when you start off, it's all about, you know, building the wealth, and things seem to be going well. And to stop that midway and say, I want to rethink this, is very difficult. I think in general, women are more conservative, more reserved about bringing these things up. They choose their battles more carefully. They decide what's important to them to argue about and what is not. And so it might be more important to argue that the kid is going to go to a private school than it is to argue about their own retirement. Things like that. And so I think it creeps into the workplace as well. You know, I pointed out that women are making 84 cents on the dollar, and that gender gap widens, right, for Latinas and Blacks. You know, 84 cents on the dollar for the same job in 2024 statistics. Why is that? If
Well,
employers
we
have to divulge I mean, let's just suppose, right, that everything's supposed to be a level playing field and employers are supposed to disclose these salaries. Why is
Yeah.
it that women are still working next to men, doing the same job, and sometimes have more qualifications, greater qualifications, and are getting paid less?
Yeah, I think employers have been very discreet about wanting to list how much money something costs because they don't want you to know. I know that that's changing a little bit, and I know that there's very many good employers out there. But I'm
That's
just going
right.
to say, in the field of radio, I've worked in radio forever, and the men always make more. Do
You
you pick
know,
that battle or not? You're worried you're not going to get the job or be able to keep the job. They'll get
that's
somebody
right.
else in there who won't complain.
No, that's absolutely right. And I think that's true of everybody. You know, in cases where I have to say to people, whether it's man or woman, have you thought about asking for a raise? You've done everything else you can do to trim your expenses, but you know, maybe you could increase your income, you could ask for a raise. And it's harder for me to get a woman to consider. I don't tell them you have to go and ask for a raise, but it's harder for me to get a woman to consider her self-worth than to have a man consider his self-worth.
I think it's because you always think you could be replaced, and then managers or owners have a tendency to make you feel like the company could go under any minute, so you're lucky you have a job. So then
Yeah.
you don't want to,
You
you don't
know
want to
what?
toss that ball up in the air.
Everybody is replaceable. We all would like to think we aren't, but we are. I can just give you again, my cross section is I work with what, five different hosts basically, right, on radio. Three of them are men and two of them are women, right? So I have a pretty good feel for what it feels like to do a show with a man and what it feels like to do a show with a woman. And do you know what I think?
What?
I think there isn't a difference.
Oh, really?
I swear to you,
I think
because
I'm
it's
much
not
funnier,
just.
Francis. I think I'm much funnier.
Well, I have more time on the air with you, and you are pretty funny, I have to say. But you know, it isn't about the gender, it's about the person. I mean, my shows with Kevin are very different than my shows with Nick, and they are in booths side by side.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And the same topic, but they have a different audience.
They're different age groups too, though. Kevin's much younger than Nick, or a little bit younger
Yeah.
than Nick.
Yeah, that's
I
true.
wonder if that changes your viewpoint on money too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, yes, it does in some ways that the age has something to do with it, but in terms of the gender and the skill to do the job, all great. You know, I would never pit one of you against the other and say this person should be earning less or this person should be earning more. And so, you know, a lot of the colleges have gone to this blind testing now where you can't ask questions that lead you to understand what ethnicity somebody is, what gender somebody is, whatever you're trying to make your decision on accepting these applicants. And it's difficult, and there are lots of ways to get around it. And I think that's what employers do or will do with this disclosure of how much the salary should be for a job. You know, I would appeal to the employer's sense of ethics and morals and say, pay women what you would pay men if they're as qualified. If they're
right.
not, pay them less because they're not as qualified, no matter what their gender is. Okay?
Exactly. Yeah.
But don't
I agree with
them.
That.
Yeah. Don't see them as though they're not as qualified because of their gender. Okay. I don't want to end, and we're far from that yet, but I don't want to end without giving people some practical tips about what they can do to fix this imbalance. You know, let's suppose you're a woman listening to this, or someone with that X chromosome money gene that I'm talking about, and you're listening to this and you're saying, yeah, that sounds like us. That sounds like me. What can I do about that? I think the financial advisor we have right now, it seems fine. He's making us money. She's making us money. Okay. You brought up the idea of age, you know, the topic of age. Does age make a difference? Yes, it makes a difference. And it makes it especially in this way, Jess. If you are younger, you can tolerate more risk. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean you like it, right? You might be a little uncomfortable with it, but you have time to make up for the losses that inherently come from time to time with taking more risk, mm-hmm. right? That's that trade-off. You hope you make more money and you take the risk of maybe losing some. And so mm-hmm. you're going up, down, up, down, up, down, and you're trying to get to the top, okay? As you get older and you need to know that that money will be there in retirement, you need to worry about two things. The first is, well, three things, okay? How much money it is.
Mm-hmm.
But that almost doesn't matter when you think in terms of income, and I'll explain that. But how much money it is, how it's going to last you your lifetime, and how it's being managed.
Okay.
Okay? The how it's being managed, and I'll make some enemies here, I'm sure. But don't worry, advisors. You got more young people coming your way who will love the risk, okay? But as you get older, you might want to take a look at who is managing your money. Most advisors who are managing money for people who are younger and going into retirement transition mm-hmm. are really skillful and really great at growing money. But their mindset is all about growing money. How much money can we amass?
Yeah.
It is not about spending money, which is what will happen to you when you transition into retirement. You will stop earning, you will stop growing at that rate, right? Hopefully you're still growing money, but you need to rely on that nest egg to be able to exist while you are spending money.
Right, and you don't know how long that's gonna be.
You don't know how long that's going to be. And so the shift from advisor to advisor, now some advisors can handle it all, but in my experience, it's not really how it works well. For instance, I'm not an advisor who does a lot of growth stuff, right?
Okay.
I used to be a registered investment advisor. I used to do that on a daily basis. But what I know about money is it's a very broad topic. And if I'm going to do the kinds of things I do, help people get out of debt, help them with a budget, help them retire successfully, I cannot, and do radio shows and all that, I cannot have my finger on the pulse of the market in such a way that I'm managing those portfolios every day in the way that I would feel comfortable
mm-hmm.
with for my clients.
Could it's
put
a lot
up
of
a
work.
Cookie cutter system? Sure.
Yeah.
Would I? No. So that's where I leave that to other advisors who do that. But when you start to think about, am I going to be able to retire? You need to think about how are you going to spend that money down or spend that money, not how you're going to spend it down. That points to a number of things that I can go over quickly about things you can change, but it points to every, I almost never qualify anything by saying every or never or not, right? Every person's portfolio maybe should have a portion of that portfolio in something like an annuity. Now, I know some annuities get a bad rap. There are, so do some cars, okay? There's a gazillion annuities. But the thing about an annuity that might work for you is you might still have some earning potential in the market, but protect your downside from losses. And here's the key. Get a lifetime income you cannot outlive, right? An income you cannot outlive. If you live to be 102, 108, they still have to pay you even if you've run out of money. Now, is it a place for your whole portfolio? No, of course not. No places, right? But for part of it, that could help you get that security you're looking for. Women, compared to men, as I said, men love to watch the market and talk about the charts and all that. Women are looking for security. They want their goals to be heard, right? They want to be taken seriously, but they want to know that money's going to be there because they suspect that they may outlive the men. Now, men have a similar problem, Jess, in that they really should, they tend to, I think, as a group, underestimate their life expectancy. We all see those government charts, you know, you're going to live to be 76, and it's scary, right? And you think, well, my father died at whatever. And so I think the men are less concerned about, you know, outliving their money, but they should be more concerned about it because men are living longer, and so are women, right? We're living longer. We're taking better care of ourselves. So I think all of those things are true. You know, I'd love to have another hour to talk about this, and I'm sure we will continue this in another show, but just so that I give you some things that you can do, some action points you can do right now to start to change this balance.
Okay.
First thing women are going to be right on, cut the expenses, right? Trim your budget as best you can. Pay off your debt early. This stuff is going to take talking to your partner. You're going to have to say, hey, I think I'm behind the eight ball here. I don't have as much in retirement as you have. And it's a lot. Like women have way less than 50% of what men have in general in their retirement dollars at different ages, and not time to go into the stats, but take advantage of your 401k catch up. In 2025, you're going to be able to put in about $31,000 into your 401k, and the employer-employee match has gone up to $70,000. So that's if you're over 50 years old. If you're over 60, from 60 to 63, because of the Secure 2.0, you can add an extra $11,250.
Okay.
Instead of 7,500, so you can put some money away there with a cap between you and your employer of $70,000. So you might not be able to afford it, but you should know you can do that if you can find the room in your budget to do it. If you're over 59 and a half, consider moving some of this money now, using your in-service transfer into something like that special kind of an annuity, so that it has time to mature, and when you're ready for it, bam, the income's there. Okay. You can usually do that within a year, but you might want to consider something like that at this stage. There's a couple of quick things I want to just say. Check your beneficiaries on these contracts. You need to remember that things like annuities precede your will. So check them, because you don't want your ex-spouse, you know, getting that money if something happens to you and your wife or husband is sitting there saying, why don't I have this? Especially in divorce and situations like that, review your deeds, make sure they're held properly. Joint tenants, not tenants in common, things like that. Check with your attorney. And overall, just use the financial and legal tools that are available to you to be able to get a handle on this. And for women, you know, ladies, don't do it anymore. Don't just say, hey, the money's in my husband's 401k. It's going to be okay.
All right, let's get your phone number if anybody's got questions on this. I'm sure that they will.
Yeah, I hope so. I'd love to talk to people about this. My number is 413-773-3333.
And you can go to hugyourmoney.com as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jess, for doing it under the weather.
Of course. We'll be back next week with another edition of Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram, right here on WHMP.
Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor is underwritten by Hug Your Money. So unique, it's patented. Financial coaching and more information at hugyourmoney.com.
Financial literacy and the human condition. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Raham.
Hi, it's Francis. I just wanted to take a minute to thank you for watching this video. If you're catching us on YouTube, please help us help others by clicking like, subscribe, and all notifications so you don't miss any videos. And check back for the next video. I think you're going to love it. Thanks again. For more information, you can visit us at hugyourmoney.com.
Welcome to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram. Hi.
Good morning, Jess. How are you?
I'm good. We're down to the wire now for holiday shopping.
Yeah. Are you surviving so far?
Surviving, but I still have stuff to do. I know all these people that say they were done, at the beginning of December, and that's definitely not me.
No. What I find is that there's always somebody that I wanted to do something for, maybe didn't remember off the bat. I hate to pick on the mailman because I love my mailman. He's great. But it's always like, okay, did I want to do something for the mailman, the people at the bank, whatever it is? And so then, just when you think you're done, you're saying, oh, but wait. And for me, a lot of it, and probably for you too, and many people out there, you don't really get until, if you're celebrating Christmas, you don't really get until Christmas to do it, because you're going to see people before Christmas that you won't see until the next year, and you know that you're going to exchange some gifts, large or small, and so the timeline gets really, shortened, right?
It does for
So,
sure.
yeah, so this is part two of our holiday series, right? Part one, people can reference, was about money saving tips for the holidays. And we talked a lot about traveling, ways to save money traveling, and other things like that. But now we're getting right down to the wire. So today, even though I might recap a little bit of some of the things that were in segment one, just so that people can go and look at it, I want to talk about like last minute, almost free things you can do, even if you can't get out to shop. And there's quite a bit.
All right, I like this. I like this. I need these ideas.
Well, it's funny. Some of them come from my own creativity, right? That's what we all do. We share our thoughts with other people and we learn from them. And some of them came from the web. There was a website called Real Simple that had a number of suggestions. I'll tell you what my three favorite were. Now it won't surprise you folks, it won't surprise you that much of my advice here, if we can call it advice loosely, is sentimental. Okay, it's gift giving, people, right? It's gift giving. Yes, you can give someone a Maserati and maybe that's sentimental, but you know what? Don't you remember the gifts that people gave you that were really thoughtful and you thought, how did they ever think to do that for me? Wasn't that lovely? Right?
Yeah, I think those are the gifts you definitely remember, and those are fun to do, especially with adults. But sometimes it is hard with kids because they care about the number of packages under the tree, let's be honest.
They do. But I'll tell you, I have a great idea. Well, it's not my idea, so I can say that. I did get it from Real Simple. And also, I have to credit a friend of mine. We were having our holiday get-together dinner because we do that rather than exchange gifts. And he was saying that he did this on his own. And he was actually going to create a kit like this and all that and decided not to commercialize it. But he did it for his children, and I thought it was great. So if you have tweens especially, right, these kids, okay, that's a good age. Anybody under 18 is a good age to do this with. You create a time capsule. A time capsule. So let me just tell you what Real Simple says about it. They say message the future, right? And they say create a time capsule with a time stamp that suggests when your recipient should open it. This makes an especially nice gift for an under 18 crowd. Capture their current interests and passions so the tween in your life can reminisce about their K-pop obsession, right? A decade or so from now. So I just think that was a great thing. Is it the only gift you're going to give your kids? No, I'm sure it's not, but
Yeah, I was
it's
just
one
gonna
that
say
they.
that's lovely, but they're gonna want some electronics with it. I'm just telling you now.
They are. And some of the ideas I have to do with using those electronics. And so your kids, if you're even if they're not the new electronics you're giving them, some of these ideas your kids can not only help out with, but they could do on their own. So if the parents can go like la 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 while I talk about those, okay, the kids can get some great ideas and they could probably send me ideas. These kids are so good at this stuff now. So I'll recap a couple of things from the first segment so that if you still have a little bit of time, you're still thinking about doing this. We did talk about travel. We talked about saving money, giving experiential learning, like getting free courses at the local college or asking your library for a culture pass so that you can go to places like museums and botanical gardens that are local for free. Nobody has to know that you got this for free. You're just giving them an experience, right? guess what I got? You make out a gift certificate. We're taking 2 days. We're taking, the two of us are going to, or the four of us are going to the botanical garden, and we're going to tour that. What a nice gift for a gardener, if you think about that, right?
Yeah.
Didn't cost you anything. You just have to be resourceful if you're going to save money giving gifts. One of the things, while I'm on this topic, because I know you won't bring it up, but I will, is the 30% off store. Now, let me just tell you right now, folks, this is not a commercial. The radio station doesn't know that I'm going to do this. They don't ask me to do this, but I am just going to tell you. Okay, here's an example. Now, the radio stations have this store called the 30% off store, the radio stations we work
Shop
with.
Shop 30, yep.
Shop 30, okay. And you can get a number of things 30% off. It could be landscaping. You can tell people some of the things it is. But I'm just going to tell you that I put stamps, people, not the ripoff things you see on the internet. I bought stamps through the 30% or the Shop 30 store. Mm-hmm. Forever stamps, 30% off.
Yeah, and
I
love
put
it.
Put them on all my cards this year.
I do feel like it's our own kind of Groupon. And
yeah.
The other thing too is that a lot of times there's things that even go up to 50% off. Like right now, there's two places on there for dinner that are 50% off. So
wow.
For $19.75, you can get a $40 coupon. Another fun one that's up there right now, which I thought would be great if you've got any tweens like we were talking about on your list, or even adults, because I would love this, for indoor go-karting.
Oh, yeah, that's fun. Yeah.
And that's super. Yeah. It's always fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can go on there and kind of check out deals.
Yeah. No, I think it's great. And, every year I remind people of this. These can be gifts, but you could also just do this wisely. Buy the 50% off restaurants and gift certificate if you think you're going to go there anyway. Use it
right.
yourself. There's no shame in that, right?
Yeah.
You have to understand, we're not ripping off stores when they give us a discount, right? They offer the discounts for a reason. They know that they can get you in the door, that you'll probably come back again, and it's worthwhile. But anyway, I just thought the stamp thing was, it blew my mind, because
awesome.
I'm thinking, how did I get stamps? I'll tell you what, one of the DJs turned me onto it. They said that they had bought stamps. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you find when you're doing, when you're talking to people about money and we're talking about coupons, that men are more reticent to use them? Because whenever I have a coupon, I'm thrilled, pull it out at the restaurant. But my son, when he goes anywhere, he's like, yeah, I'm not using that. That's embarrassing. Like,
yeah.
What do you mean?
I don't know. That's an interesting question. I would say that I don't have enough personal experience with men using coupons to give you any sort of
data. Guys are always like funny about it, but women, we're like, let us save
some
money.
I mean, I could think about men in my past who really would have been sort of embarrassed to do that. So that's a really good question, Jess, because how can you get around that? You know, and I think there are ways to get around it. You could, for instance, if you're a guy and you're a little concerned about using a coupon, call the restaurant before you go. You don't have to give them your name. This can be an anonymous call. Hey, I got this coupon. I'm a little shy about using it. How does it work when I offer up a coupon there? You know, and they might say, well, just tell your wait staff this phrase, you know, can you make sure I have the check, you know, and I have something to put in the check for you, or whatever they tell you to do.
Yeah.
And then try and do it. But you know what? Do you want to save money or you want to save your pride? Because you could probably do both.
And blame your wife. Like, go out with the thing and be like, my wife got me this for Christmas. Can I use it? You know, just make
exactly.
it funny.
Exactly. Yeah. No, there's no shame in using this. First of all, you're paying for this, right? You're not getting it for free. You're paying for it.
Right.
But anyway, I just think that that's one of the things that's really a cool way to save. And you guys do this not just at the holiday. It pops up from time to time.
It's all year. And there's just different things that are up there right now.
Oh.
I just was on there this morning, actually, because I'm looking for last minute gifts for people. Where I run into problems always, and I remind myself this year, last year, I forget about my nephew's girlfriends.
Yeah.
You know, when someone's got a plus one with them and they've brought something, you feel like you need to do a little something.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's true. I almost always have a couple of emergency gifts, you know, wrapped, ready
smart.
To go. You know, the people know that you didn't expect to give them a gift, but still it makes it a little more comfortable to hand them something. For people out there who are tight on a budget, don't go shopping saying, but this is in case somebody comes by. You know, there's no problem in just saying, oh, you know, I didn't have to get me anything. I didn't expect to see you, whatever. And maybe offer something else. You know, maybe we could go shopping together someday, or have a cup of coffee, or you know what I mean? Offer an experience. Okay. The one thing I didn't talk about in traveling that I just wanted to get in quickly, and you're going to laugh at me, but you know those plastic bags that you can put your clothes in and you can squeeze the air out? I think that technically they were called
Like the
space
compression
bags.
things? Yes.
Okay. Silly tip, but I will tell you what, don't pay for that extra suitcase, right? Because now especially the budget airlines charge you $25 each way for your suitcase, the extra suitcase. I went to Italy for 10 days on a little cube that fit underneath my seat because of space bags, and I did it twice. So, and I like to dress, but you know, you really do. I mean, just lay on your bed, whatever you have to do to squeeze the air out of that, get that space out of those bags, and then they're flat. And then when you open them up, the stuff is not wrinkled. Don't ask me how that happens, because that's probably the trick of them, but it really works. And you might save yourself, you know, $50 a bag each way for each person in your household. So,
They're charging for everything now, so you're right.
yeah, think about that. Okay. Might be a little late to get this tip out here, but I just want to maybe start people thinking either this year or next year. We spend a lot on holiday decorations, right? And then every year we look at them and we say, do we want to put the same decorations up again? Start swapping with your friends. Trade for a Christmas or a holiday and say, this year you're going to decorate this. Now, I got this idea from my friend June, who came and helped me decorate one year, and she brought like a carload. She's an incredible decorator, and she brought a carload of her stuff that she wasn't using. And so my house looked completely different for the holiday. It was great, right? And then she got to use stuff from my house. So
Oh, that's a good idea.
yeah, so you can just, you know, change it up. Just give it back at the end of the holiday. Okay. How much time do we have left in this segment?
Just about a minute, and then we've got a
Oh, about
we're
a minute.
ready.
Okay. Part two will be all about free or almost free last minute gifts that I promise you you can do. You do not have to be a major crafter to do this. Okay. All right. So we'll talk about that, and hopefully we'll get people out of trouble there a little bit this close to the holiday. Yeah.
All right, in the meantime, let's get your phone number.
Sure. It's 413-773-3333.
And you can visit hugyourmoney.com. We're going to be back with more tips with the money doctor, Dr. Francis Ram, with Financial Fitness on WHMP.
Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor is underwritten by Franklin County Technical School. We build futures. Visit fcts.us or call 413-863-9561.
Welcome back to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the money doctor, Dr. Francis Ram. We're talking holidays.
We are talking holidays. You know, it's fun to do a show like this because I'm always talking about money, right? So money, 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 money. Okay.
You're the
But,
money doctor.
well, that's my job, right? But come holiday season, you know, the money problems don't go away. People still have that. And even if you can afford plenty of, you know, gifts or expensive gifts, you might be at a loss for what to do that might be memorable, that might be really something that touches someone's heart. So let's talk about some free gifts or almost free, right?
I like
Some of these are
the
going to
sound
be
of that.
Completely free. You have the stuff in your house or whatever. Well, first of all, you can make this elaborate Christmas tree out of paper cups. No, you don't have to do that.
You don't have to be Martha Stewart here.
You don't have to do it. Okay. But you do need to use your brain, and you need to think about people in your life. What do they like? What means something to them? Okay. Now, some of these are pretty old-fashioned ideas, but I promise you, if somebody gave them to me, I would be very happy about it. Come and clean my car, please. Okay.
That's a big, I would love that.
Oh my gosh, even if it's just vacuum the inside of your car, right? If you're worried about, you know, I don't want to scratch the car, or especially for kids, make up a gift certificate, handwrite it. Adults too. I will wash your car, or I will clean your car this many times. I'll do it once a month for the year, whatever, and then stand behind it and do it, even if it's only once. Right? Now you could pay to go and have somebody's car detailed. That's very nice, but it's going to cost you, right? You could do this. You could vacuum someone's car, and they would really appreciate that you cared for them.
And if
Okay?
anybody is listening and wants to do that for me, I will welcome it. You have
Do
not
you know
seen the
what?
inside of my car yet, though.
Oh my gosh, I have mentioned this to so many people because I'm really busy. You know, I
Yeah.
really like my cars to be clean and I do my best. But man, when I'm putting band equipment in and back, you know, it's
Yeah. Yeah.
crazy. And I don't get a chance to clean my car as often as I'd like. I would love it if somebody would do that.
And anybody that has kids, this is perfect because you know, no matter how many times you clean your car, it's a mess as soon as they get out. You're going to find like stale French fries under the seat. You just are.
Don't cars come with that? That's not like I want a four-seater with stale French fries,
I
please,
mean, you
because
got to have it.
I don't want to adapt to a new car. Okay. Here's another thing. Now, again, I hope people don't laugh at me about this because I promise you, when I give these gifts to people, they tell me years later, remember the year you did that?
Yeah.
And it's not, I'm not trying to brag about this. It's just that what you think matters to somebody, whatever you think that is, you're probably wrong. Okay.
Yeah.
I came across a letter this year. I gave it to the guy already, and he's already called me about it. He got it a little early, but I came across a letter this year that I found in my drawer from an old friend who apparently I met 12 years ago because his letter is 10 years old and it says, 2 years ago, we met at this place, Chili's in Connecticut. Okay. The letter was really nice, and it was from a time when I had time to handwrite letters, apparently, because it
Yeah.
started by saying, I haven't received a handwritten letter like this in years. And so he took the time to write a four-page letter back to me.
Oh,
Now,
that's
I'm
great.
sure he had forgotten completely about it, right? But I
Yeah.
found this letter last week, and I thought, I know what to do with this. And I scanned it using the free app on my phone, right? I scanned it, and I sent it to him. I didn't even have to pay for a stamp. I
Yeah.
sent this guy his own letter back and he was thrilled about it.
Because he enjoyed reading like what he was up to 10 years ago and
Yes. And
yeah.
so, yeah, he was just going to school. I was encouraging him. Now he's working at a hospital, making bucks. You know, he got through it
Yeah.
all, right? But that was like that little time capsule thing we're talking about, right? You could do this with photos of your children or anything. We are in a digital age where it costs you nothing. Zero goose egg, folks, to do this stuff. You got a phone, you got a finger, poke, send. That's it.
Yeah.
And make a nice message. Now, I hate to let the cat out of the bag, Jess, because you are getting a message from me like this in the mail. But I think it's only fair to say that what I did is I took something that I thought was that people were going to enjoy, an entertainment kind of a thing. And I made a letter with the links to the entertainment on YouTube, right? And I saved it to an inexpensive flash drive. And I put a copy of the letter on there because it's too big to put all the files on there, right? I put a
Yeah.
copy of the letter on there and I made a little video like this. I said, "Hey Jess, Merry Christmas.
Oh,
It's
that's
me. I hope you
so
like this." And by the way, it's a free flash drive with some space on it. So either
Yeah.
unload the files or leave them on there. They're small. I hope you enjoy this and use the flash drive. I put it in an envelope. I put it in a card, zipped it off. I don't think you have it yet, but you probably have it in a day or two. Zipped it off to you by mail as a thank you for all you do all year. Now,
Oh.
so once again, very little cost, but something you can really do for free or almost free. And kids, oh my gosh, kids, please do this stuff. You will give your parents a time capsule that they can't get. I know you're videotaped playing soccer. I know you live your life in front of a phone, but you know what? Give them a part of your life they don't see. Get a
Yeah.
friend and say, "Hey, let's do that thing we do that my parents have never seen. Let's do that game, or let's have the chit chat, or just tell your parents how you actually feel about them." You know, think about that sort of thing for a gift for someone you love. Okay, this never goes out of style. Cook something, bake something,
Yeah.
please. Even if it's not cooked or baked, I like these little jars. Have you ever seen these jars where you put all the dry ingredients in and you give
Oh
them a
yeah, I
little
love those. Like the mason jars kind of.
Yeah. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's
those are
great.
cool.
It's really great. You put all the dry ingredients in a jar, you make a little tag, you make a little bow, and you give them a recipe. Here's grandma's famous, you know, I don't know.
Cookie mix or
Banana
whatever it might be.
zucchini cookies or something terrible, right? But
Yeah.
here's grandma's favorite recipe. And then share it. And then you can add to that as an experience. And you can say, you know, on your little card, you can say, here's the ingredients. But really, the gift is that we're going to get together in January or February. We're going to make this stuff, right?
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Another quick little idea that I had that I thought would be fun, it would take you a little bit of time for research, is to figure out the year that someone was born and then do like a paper with all of what was going on that year. What was the
Yes.
number one song? What was who was
Right.
president? Like the and kind of look back on it. I would think that'd be cool to get.
I think that's a great thing. Now, I know once again there are services about this, but this show is about how to do this on next to no money.
Right.
Okay. And nobody has to know. Nobody's going to think, oh, they did this on next to no money. They're going to think, wow, that was really creative. That was, they put some thought into that. And after all, folks, what is it that counts? The thought that counts, right? Okay. So that reminds me also of another idea that I got from Real Simple, which was offer inspiration. And what they said is, look, you probably have one of these empty notebooks, you know, an old notebook somebody gave you, you never used, you know, sitting in one of your drawers. Dress up the cover and start to put inspirational quotes in there. And you can just find
Oh,
them
neat.
free online, you know. There's, and I think they even gave a link to it, and they called it a gratitude journal.
Yeah,
So
that's nice.
it's a nice way to start. You know, here's some inspirational quotes, and you can just write things in it. My favorite Real Simple idea. I love this one. They called it Start a Jar of Awesome.
Okay, what's that?
Isn't that cool? Okay,
Yeah.
so they take a jar, they start with, well, remember that time, dot, 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 write it on a piece of paper, stick it in the jar. Give it to somebody at the holidays with all these little memories. Remember the time that you broke your foot. Remember the time that we went on that roller coaster. Remember the time that, you know, I had to console you because of this sort of thing or whatever, but it came out really good in the end. And
Yeah.
start the jar and then have them add to it through the year and year after year and make this jar of awesome. I loved it. And I love that they gave it a name. You know, they made a pretty jar with a label and they
Yeah.
gave it a jar of awesome. You know, the older we get, the more these things mean to us. My sister the other day reminded me of a story that I not only didn't remember, she's 7 years older than I am, so we have these different memories. I
Right.
not only didn't remember, but I had completely attributed in my mind to someone else in the family. And it turned out that it was me. So, well, I can tell you the quick story. So I'm about 3 or 4 years old and we're sitting at a table and I grew up in the country and we were having steak. And the cow, the steer that we had in the backyard had disappeared. And even at a young age, I put this together. My brother used to tell this story, and I thought it was my sister, but my sister says it was me. And he would say, one fat tear started to roll down your cheek. And
Oh.
you said, is this Mooey Louie?
Oh, no.
Well, apparently I had named.
Of course. Yeah, you don't want to name anything you're going to eat.
Oh, you know, I was terribly sad about it for a
Of
second, but then I
course.
thought, that was me? I didn't know that. That
Yeah.
would have been a great thing in the jar of awesome.
Yeah.
You know, put that in a jar of awesome. I just think that would have been the coolest thing. Anyway, so some of the things that I talked about, you know, like you can make a gift certificate for cleaning someone's car. Some other ideas might be babysit. Oh my goodness, you talk about a value. The cost of daycare
Yeah.
is astronomical. If you could give somebody a little break, one day, one day a week, one day a month, it doesn't matter. Anytime. Here's a gift certificate. You can redeem it at any time. I will babysit so you can go and have some downtime, you know?
And like you said earlier, you just have to make sure you follow through with it.
You have to follow through with it. What kind of a gift is it to give somebody a piece
Yeah.
of paper and then renege on it? Pet sitting as a pet owner, you know, might be nice sometime if, hey, you know, sometime if you're away overnight or something, I'll go and feed Lola. I'll take care of Lola for you. It'll be okay, you know. Mow somebody's lawn, do their leaves, shovel their snow. I mean, at this time of year, pick somebody who really shouldn't be out shoveling snow, who you don't want to say, you know what, you're getting really old and you shouldn't be shoveling that snow because you're going to break your back. Just say, I didn't know what to get you for Christmas. I really love to be outside in the snow. Would you mind if I come? I'm sorry about my phone going off, folks. Would
It's
you
okay.
mind if I come and just shovel your walks when I'm doing mine? It's really easy for me.
Yeah.
Make it a thing that they're not embarrassed about, but do it as a gift. Yeah. You had
The other
something.
thing I don't want to forget, because we brought it up last week and we said we're going to talk about it this week, and we do it on one of our stations, but the swaps.
Yes, please tell people about the swaps. That's really important. Yeah.
So this happens, and it happens all over. You can kind of Google where it's going to, but we do it on our sister station in Greenfield, where it's called Bear Swaps, and people call in with something that they have. Some of them want an amount for it, usually at a discount, but some of them are willing to swap for something else. So
Yes.
you might have something and sitting around that you're not using, and you can swap it for something you actually need. No money changes hands, and you're still getting someone a nice gift.
Yes. Yeah, I love that. I love things like that, that just, it shouldn't be about feeling like I can't spend any money at the holidays. Maybe it is for you, right? It was for me at one point. I just didn't have it, right? Okay, I felt really awful. And that's why we do shows like this, because I don't want somebody feeling awful because they don't have money at the holidays, you
Yeah,
know?
and Facebook Marketplace too. Like the kids, want a million toys. I know that they're going to use them twice and not use them. So the hot item for the kids this year is the smart sketcher, where it projects a picture and you can sketch it. It's $100. So I've been on Facebook Marketplace looking for new in box. Maybe they opened it and put everything back and they didn't like it, to
That's right.
see if you can get it for more than half off. Or, it's definitely worth it to do that versus $100 for something they're going to use twice and never use again.
Yeah, I think it's really true. So I hope we gave people some good ideas last minute. Bail yourself out of what do I get this person, and just do it. Just
I
turn
also
your
want to add, because
phone.
I'm looking at you right now, and right behind you is retire debt and retire well. I said it last week. I think it would make a great Christmas gift, and you're giving someone some help for their whole year. But also, isn't there a special going on right now?
So you could download the digital copy even Christmas morning. It doesn't matter. Just download it. It's really inexpensive. And they'll be able to read it digitally on their phone, on their computer, on their tablet, whatever. Yeah.
I love that. And we've talked about it before and actually read some from the book, but there's stories with real people in there. So it makes it like light and interesting, and it's not
Well,
boring, is what I'm saying nicely.
thank you. It's people just like you, and they allowed us to use their stories because they wanted to help somebody else. So you're
Yeah.
not alone. You're not alone. You can download it and read it for yourself or share it for sure.
All
Yeah.
right. Well, if you need any tips and or you have questions on money, I'm sure a lot of people do. A lot of people get themselves into trouble at the holidays for sure. It's hard not to. What is your phone number?
Sure. It's 413-773-3333.
And you can go to hugyourmoney.com. Also, the book Retire Debt and Retire Well for Kindle, but you can also get it on Amazon.
Paperback, hardcover, and digital download. Yeah.
All right. All great ideas. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jess. Happy holidays to you.
You too. We'll be back next week with another edition of Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram, right here on WHMP.